朋友们，大家好，今天是5月29号，星期五，欢迎收看《美国观察》。在中共人大会议通过香港版国安法之后，美国、英国、加拿大和澳大利亚政府发表联合声明，表示极度担忧香港版的国安法将会加剧香港社会的深层矛盾。此外，美国已经要求联合国安理会就香港局势召开会议。我们来看美国之音常驻国务院记者张荣香的报道。
美国、加拿大、英国以及澳大利亚在联合声明当中指出，中国决定在香港施行国安法，直接抵触具有法律约束力中国自己向联合国提交的中英联合声明的国际义务。声明还指出，港版国安法将破坏一国两制框架，增加在香港起诉政治罪行的可能性，破坏了保护香港人权利的现有承诺。中国人大通过新国家安全立法，中国正式拥有了平息香港动荡局势的广泛权力。这项国安法引发港人强烈抗议。美国国务院主管东亚与太平洋事务的助理国务卿史达维表示，认定香港不再自治决定的源头是北京政府而不是美国。他说，美国将尽力确保香港人民不受负面影响。
史达伟在一个电话简报中告诉美国之音，除了美国政府，其他企业也可能回应香港不再享有高度自治的现实。
It's not just the presidential determination, the actions he chooses to take, but I think businesses and others would notice these facts as well, and you know make prudent choices as far as whether they, you know, whether the environment in a year from now is going to be conducive to fair business, transparent operations and all the rest that they've enjoyed to date.
美国的可能选项包括签证制裁，例如取消中国解放军附属大学的留学生与研究人员的美国签证。美国国务院发言人奥特加斯在一个专访当中表示，关注港版国安法伤害香港民主是美国共和与民主两党的共识。
All options are on the table. As it relates to the particular legislation, you know, the president doesn't have to take any action. It's required by law for the Secretary of State to certify whether Hong Kong is still autonomous or not. That's the first step in the process. So the president has a lot of options at his disposal, as do the Congress. You can look and see. You know, I think what's really interesting at this moment is there's really a bipartisan consensus around this issue.
美国常驻联合国代表团要求联合国安全理事会召开视讯会议，讨论中国推动港版国安法所带来的威胁，包括对香港民主体制和公民自由的威胁。美国表示，中国的行动证实了中国完全蔑视其国际义务。
美国常驻联合国代表团表示，这是一个紧迫的全球关注问题。以上是美国之音常驻国务院记者张荣香的采访报道。
中共全国人大会议表决通过香港版国安法。在此之前，美国国务卿蓬佩奥表示说，美国国务院认定香港不再拥有高度自治，而各界正在密切关注特朗普总统下一步将会采取什么样的反制措施。此前，特朗普总统也表示说，在本周末前他会有一个强力回应。我们来看美国之音白宫记者黄瑶毅的报道。
香港众志的秘书长黄之锋在香港行政大楼的前面召开记者会，回应美国国务院宣布香港不再享有自治地位，以及这个敦促特朗普政府实施部分的制裁。
If Beijing didn't decide to impose the national security law in Hong Kong to turn Hong Kong to be a nightmare, we don't believe Washington, who suddenly decided to announce the decision of imposing the evil law, such arrangement in Hong Kong. So I think now is the time we will continue our international advocacy and seek for bipartisan support. And with such evil law,suggested by Beijing to impose in Hong Kong. We really encourage and enhance more global community to keep an eye on Hong Kong
发言人麦克纳尼5月28号星期四在白宫的简报会上表示，中国决定对香港施加新的国安法是直接违反了其对于中英联合声明的承诺。蓬佩奥国务卿确认香港不再享有足够的自治，代表香港在美国法律之下不再享有特别待遇。黄之锋说，根据他透过香港众志的一些工作人员向美国国会议员的办公室，包括众议院以及参议院的办公室询问之后，了解到了港人如果要申请到美国留学、旅游等签证，应该不会有什么影响。不过如果美国进行部分的经济制裁，将会对红色资本还有假扮港资的中资公司带来压力。而他说呢，据他了解，除了动用香港政策法，华盛顿也在研拟是否动用1977年的国际紧急经济权利法，以类似对付朝鲜、伊朗的法律来处理被强加国安法的香港。而根据路透社报道，特朗普政府正在考虑暂停香港对美国出口的特惠关税。2019年美国从香港是进口了价值是47亿美元的商品，而目前美国对香港收取的关税较低，不受美中贸易战影响，而香港就进口美国商品则是零关税。目前有超过300家的美国公司将区域总部设在香港，包括 3M、 亚马逊、脸书、微软、美强生等美国大型的企业。美国之音询问美国商会关于中共人大通过了香港国安法，还有美国国务院不再将香港视为拥有自治地位的反应，美国商会则以该会26号的新闻稿回应美国之音。新闻稿当中说，美国商会敦促中国政府保持香港一国两制的架构，敦促中国政府寻法和平地为香港局势降温，并且保持对于香港、中国还有国际商业社会都运作良好的一国两制架构，并且敦促特朗普政府继续维持正面并且有建设性的美港关系。此外呢，根据香港政策法，将香港视为一个独立经济贸易地区进行影响深远的改变，对于香港以及美国企业都会有重大的意义，尤其对于在香港营运受益于香港核心价值而能享有正面影响的企业。而美国智库新美国安全中心的研究员艾旭立方之前告诉美国之音，取消香港的独立关税地位将是美国的核武选项。虽然蓬佩奥国务卿宣布香港已经失去自治，不过根据香港政策法，只有美国总统才有权利决定要保持或修改美国对香港的地位。特朗普总统之前曾经说过，在本周之内将针对港版的国安法公布强而有力的反应。而宏观经济预测公司英诺多顾问公司对财经网站 Market Watch 表示，对中国共产党而言，对香港的控制更为重要，所以如果美国取消香港的优惠地位，中国政府将会持续推动上海成为国际金融中心，以及推动深圳成为国际贸易中心，而所有的国际企业最终只能够自己来面对缺乏法治的中国投资环境。以上是美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅的报道。
美国国务卿蓬佩奥宣布香港不再拥有高度自治之后，美国国会议员们纷纷在当天予以回应，他们说中共已经触碰了美国的底线。我们来看美国之音国会记者李一华的报道。
美国国务卿蓬佩奥在中国全国人大表决通过香港版国家安全法前夕宣布，香港不再享有高度自治。多位国会两党议员星期三立即对这项决定纷纷表示支持。
I think we're all monitoring the situation very carefully, day by day, and getting ready from a policy perspective to implement policy on our end to deal with it.
It's a sad situation in Hong Kong, and what it comes down to, for too long the American establishment has not recognized how horrible communism is. It does not surprising he did it.But it's sad he did it.
众议院外交事务委员会主席恩格尔发表声明指出，美国对中国政府行为所做出的反应必须果断明确，并利于维护美国的国家利益，也支持国际法规定下的香港自治和民主自由。美国的这一举措伴随而来的是，香港将失去目前在贸易方面所享有的特殊优惠待遇。预计这项决定也将可能对香港的国际金融地位产生巨大冲击。
Well, we're going to have to work that out because obviously we've had a long relationship and trade relationship with Hong Kong, and the PRC is complicating that tremendously. And we don't want China to be an enemy, but they're acting like an enemy. They're not living up to the promises they made. They're not allowing the people to exercise really any freedoms. It's really a shame because the people of Hong Kong deserve so much better.
中国强推香港版国家安全法的举动也被视为是北京迄今为止在削弱香港自治权方面最大胆的政治举措。各界都在关注美国政府接下来将采取什么步骤，又将会如何影响美中关系。
The United States have to have a government capable of dealing in a world where not every other government is open, forthcoming, and democratic. And unfortunately, Beijing is really none of those things.
与此同时，作为对北京强行推动香港版国家安全法的回应，国会跨党派议员已经推出了制裁法案。目标锁定破坏香港自治状态的中共官员以及与其有业务往来的银行。美国之音电视报道。
五月中旬，在参议院获得无异议通过的维吾尔人权政策法案，星期三傍晚也以压倒性的结果在众议院获得通过。在美中外交关系聚焦新冠病毒和香港问题之际，维吾尔人权政策法案的通过可以被视为是美国国会针对中国人权问题的又一重大举措。来看美国之音国会记者李怡华的报道。
本月早些时候在参议院获得无异议通过的维吾尔人权政策法，星期三傍晚以413票支持一票反对获得众议院压倒性通过。这部涉及新疆维吾尔穆斯林及其他少数民族人权问题的法案，接下来将送交白宫，等待特朗普总统签字生效，正式成为立法。
Today in this House of Representatives, in a very strong bipartisan wayWe are sending a message to the persecuted that they are not forgotten. We're saying to the president of China, you may tell these people that they are forgotten, but they aren't. And on the floor of the House of Representatives, on a bipartisan, bicameral, legislation, we are here. We are here in support of the Uyghur Human Rights Policy Act, strong bipartisan legislation to address and defend the rights and dignity of the Uyghur people from China's oppression.
美国国会汤姆兰托斯人权委员会共同主席、共和党联邦众议员史密斯也在星期三全体院会发言时表示，在中国人权问题上，美国不会保持沉默。众议院外交委员会首席共和党议员麦考尔也说，中国共产党是这一代最大的经济和国家安全威胁，美国国会必须不分党派，而是共同以美国人来应对这个威胁。
Whether it be the Muslim population of the Uyghurs, whether it be the Tibetan population who have been persecuted, and the Dalai Lama who is in exile, to the Christians who are persecuted in China by the Communist Party, this bill will help holdThe Chinese Communist Party accountable for their atrocities and will show the world, including the Uyghur Muslim American community, that the United States Congress will not tolerate these appalling human rights violations. We will always stand for human rights across the globe.
受到美国新冠疫情影响，众议院只是处在形式上的议事期。维吾尔人权政策法也是众议院首次在全体院会表决中使用代理投票机制的法案。美国之音记者李一华，华盛顿报道。
西洋组织保卫民主联盟近期发布的数据显示说，中国自四月份以来已经通过其200多个官媒和政府的推特账户发布了近9万条推特，宣传与散布与新冠病毒有关的虚假信息。美国前副总统钱尼办公室国安顾问、普林斯顿大学的教授范亚伦在接受我的采访时表示说，中共近期的关于新冠病毒的虚假宣传有一个新的趋势，那就是针对发展中国家的受众，以期在国际的机构中获得支持。我们来看采访。
I also want to talk about China's disinformation campaign because you mentioned that a little bit in one of your recent articles. And we noticed that since the outbreak, China has been conducting a large-scale disinformation campaign. So can you share with us some of your observations?
Yes, this is something that's rather new for China, at least as far as targeting other countries. They've used this kind of disinformation tactic against Taiwan, but not so much against countries in other parts of the world. So it's new. There appears to be some degree of cooperation, at least tacit cooperation, between Chinese entities and Russian, potentially Iranian as well, that are sharing disinformation. And the themes of the disinformation include this allegation that the United States military was perhaps responsible for developing the virus that was then unleashed on the world. That's one. They've also conducted or spread disinformation about the way in which European governments and other governments have handled the outbreak. I think this is targeted primarily at both a domestic audience in China and also perhaps at audiences in the developing world. I don't think they believe they're going to convince the United States government or the American people that somehow the U.S. Army was responsible for COVID-19. I don't think by spreading disinformation about the way the European governments have handled it that they're going to produce outrage among the European populations. I think they're probably aiming a lot of this at countries in the developing world.
Why do you think they're targeting now, like mainly at people who are in developing countries or countries other than America?
I think that's a main focus of PRC strategy that perhaps people in the West have not paid enough attention to. And I think Chinese strategists see the developing world as important in the future for a variety of reasons, a source of resources, markets, and so on, but also a source of diplomatic support for China in international institutions. And this, what we're seeing now, is an example of that. China appears to have exerted a disproportionate influence in the World Health Organization. We don't know exactly how that happened, but probably by gaining support among other developing countries to appoint someone as the head of that organization who is quite friendly towards China. And now the WHO will probably not conduct a true, thorough, and independent investigation. So China has been working hard to gain influence, not only in the WHO, but other international institutions. And the main way in which they do that is by getting support from developing countries, which are numerous and have many votes and can influence the way these organizations run.
Do you think China's this disinformation campaign is actually working?
It's hard to judge. As I said earlier, I don't think it has any benefit for them in the United States. It's made people quite angry. Maybe that's what they intend, but it's probably not very helpful. I don't know what the impact has been in Europe, but generally, as the crisis has gone on, opinion in Europe seems to be turning more against China. It might have been more favorable at the beginning, so it doesn't seem to be working there. I think the key question is it working in the developing world? And there, I don't know, but it's possible that it is, because the question would be, what are the alternative sources of information that people have? And they may be hearing a lot from Chinese outlets of various sorts and perhaps not what we might consider more objective information.
What are some of the strategies that the U.S. can adopt to counter China's disinformation campaign?
Transparency and insisting on transparency, calling to account Chinese spokesmen who engage in spreading falsehoods. So there have one of the things that's quite unusual about this episode is that fairly senior officials in the Chinese system have publicly repeated these false claims or done so on social media platforms and so on. So I think calling attention to that and applying pressure in response to those kinds of statements is one way of handling it. And of course, providing accurate information to the extent that it's available about what's actually happening in Europe or what's actually happening in the United States is another way of combating this. I don't think it's helpful for the United States or other democracies to try to engage in disinformation campaigns of their own or to spread unsubstantiated stories about the extent of Chinese culpability unless and until that can really be established.
美国总统特朗普近日提出，他要帮助调解中印之间激烈的边界争端。不过，专家们表示说，这一提议很可能会被北京或者是新德里忽略。来看报道，亚洲问题专家杰夫·史密斯解释说，据报道，北京已经将数千名士兵运送到喜马拉雅边境有争议的领土，之后中印边境的紧张局势升级。
Chinese forces appear to have crossed the line of actual control or are in a sort of disputed area between claims of both countries and set up tents, set up camp in an attempt to pressure India to stop construction of new infrastructure along the border.
特朗普总统在推特上提议调解他所谓的他们目前激烈的边境争端，但是包括史密斯在内的专家都推测北京或新德里不会接受他的提议。You
know, there were a few points in recent years where President Trump offered to play mediator between India and Pakistan on the Kashmir question. I don't think there's anything wrong or offensive about the U.S. offering itself as a mediator in these situations, but, you know, past history and current proclivities suggest that neither side really has much of an interest in taking the U.S. up on that offer.
印度和中国的官员似乎都迫切希望降低局势的恶化。
Difference in perception of the line of actual control between the two countries, which has been there for a very long time, and therefore, confrontations take place, especially during summers when there is more patrolling because routes open up. And I take it from that point of view.
下面的反应来自北京。目前，中印边境地区的局势总体是稳定的、可控的。中印之间有完善的涉边机制和沟通渠道。专家说，
新冠病毒的连锁效应正在浮现，美国的医院也掀起了裁员风。一位医生背井离乡来到新冠病毒的中心工作，现在却失业了。我们来看报道。麦克威尔逊医生已回到德克萨斯州的家里，回到他的七个孩子身旁。这个情况跟上个月他担任纽约市一个临时医院的医疗主任的时候截然不同。
This is day 22, you know, 14-hour days with no day off yet.
当纽约的新冠病毒患者数目下降，威尔逊医生回到他在德克萨斯州家乡的医院集团，结果发现自己失业了。
There's a lack of patients to be seen, so they don't need the staff. So nurses and physicians across the country have been laid off, furloughed.
四月间，在大流行病的高峰期，美国的民间医疗保健行业解雇了大约140万名员工。事情是这样发生的：当大流行病来袭，医院取消了有利可图的选择性手术，好为新冠病毒患者腾出房间。 本来财务已经拮据的一些较小型的医院更是岌岌可危。此外，由于美国人害怕进入处理新冠病毒患者的设施，造访常规急诊室的人数急剧下降。卢奇塔·甘地医生为一名中风的妇女进行治疗，她推迟来急诊室，结果为时已晚。
We could see this clot, and it was massive, and just all of us just felt this terrible sense of this is one of the cases that we really could have made a huge impact on. This woman had, if she had come within 24 hours, we probably could have pulled that clot.
随着病患对急诊室退避三舍，医院的收入减少，开始裁员。一些乡下医院现在靠一两名在急诊室的医生维持营业。
That's not enough people.
克凯穆迪医生创办了急诊医学教育网站，这是个拥有23000名急诊室医生的团体。他说，他的成员如果抱怨自己医院的人手不足，就有被解雇的风险。
If there is a multi-car pileup just outside the hospital, we need people there.We don't know when the surge is going to happen. We don't know when the emergencies will happen. So we have to be always ready.
穆迪医生说，美国的医院一直面临财务风暴，而他们现在是在飓风中挣扎。
This is not just an industry. This has become an industry, and it should not be. It should be about one human taking care of another human.
三月份通过的$20,000,000,000新冠病毒纾困法案，提供了$1,000,000,000给医院，以弥补他们的损失。但这并没有帮到威尔逊医生，他正在润饰自己的履历表，这是他多年来第一次这么做。美国之音记者普雷苏蒂的报道。
在新冠病毒大流行期间，人与人之间的接触被认为可能增加感染的风险，在这个时候，机器人的作用就更加的突出了。来看报道。
星际飞船科技的送货机器人所到之处，吸引狗仔队的跟踪。这些当地明星正在为华盛顿特区的 BBM 市场提供送货服务。特兰西·斯坦纳德拥有这些机器人。
This is what they do. They just send me this. Like I don't have enough video of the robots, but everybody loves them. Look how cute they are.
市场通常没有外送服务，但是在三月份，特区发布了命令，让保持社交距离以减少新冠病毒的传播。
Getting a little too risky to have so many people in the market because we would get super busy. We wanted to keep people outside, and then the bots seemed like a great option.
这些机器人可以携带约9公斤的重量，送到约5公里的半径范围。客户罗伯·欧肯说，这对那些来市场买了就走的顾客最有利。
I love the fact that it'll come right to my house and that I don't even have to go into the store. It was actually super easy.And it makes it a lot safer to keep social distancing.
其他公司包括猕猴桃机器人 KiwiBot、邮件伴侣 Postmates， 当然还有亚马逊等也用机器人送货。但是这个行业一直在收益上挣扎。根据安德拉·凯伊的说法，机器人技术公司通常都很艰难。
I'm seeing robotics companies shut down even in the last month, but particularly in the last year because they were too early for the market.
根据一个行业组织高级自动化协会的说法，机器人真正加速成长的市场是肮脏而危险的工作环境。
Disinfectant robots, for instance. If you right now are in a hospital or an office or a warehouse, you probably would like to have a robot do the disinfecting so that people don't have to go in there and do that. Makes it safe before the people come into work.
机器人正在比利时一家医院中杀菌。在香港地铁中撒消毒剂，他们正在印度和泰国的医院里传送食品和药物，减少了卫生工作者与传染源的接触。也许这些是目前机器人最佳去处。在现实世界，送交货物非常困难，并且充满陷阱。人行道有麻烦，但是人的麻烦更大。
It says right on it, open here. Okay, now how to do that?
Uh-oh.对于下一代人来说，将会变得比较容易。美国之音记者巴拉戈纳，华盛顿报道。
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容，感谢您的收看，我们下次节目再见。 朋友们，大家好，今天是5月29号，星期五，欢迎收看《美国观察》。在中共人大会议通过香港版国安法之后，美国、英国、加拿大和澳大利亚政府发表联合声明，表示极度担忧香港版的国安法将会加剧香港社会的深层矛盾。此外，美国已经要求联合国安理会就香港局势召开会议。我们来看美国之音常驻国务院记者张荣香的报道。
美国、加拿大、英国以及澳大利亚在联合声明当中指出，中国决定在香港施行国安法，直接抵触具有法律约束力中国自己向联合国提交的中英联合声明的国际义务。声明还指出，港版国安法将破坏一国两制框架，增加在香港起诉政治罪行的可能性，破坏了保护香港人权利的现有承诺。中国人大通过新国家安全立法，中国正式拥有了平息香港动荡局势的广泛权力。这项国安法引发港人强烈抗议。美国国务院主管东亚与太平洋事务的助理国务卿史达维表示，认定香港不再自治决定的源头是北京政府而不是美国。他说，美国将尽力确保香港人民不受负面影响。
史达伟在一个电话简报中告诉美国之音，除了美国政府，其他企业也可能回应香港不再享有高度自治的现实。
It's not just the presidential determination, the actions he chooses to take, but I think businesses and others would notice these facts as well, and you know make prudent choices as far as whether they, it's, you know, whether the environment in a year from now is going to be conducive to fair business, transparent operations and all the rest that they've enjoyed to date.
美国的可能选项包括签证制裁，例如取消中国解放军附属大学的留学生与研究人员的美国签证。美国国务院发言人奥特加斯在一个专访当中表示，关注港版国安法伤害香港民主是美国共和与民主两党的共识。
All options are on the table. As it relates to the particular legislation, you know, the president doesn't have to take any action. It's required by law for the Secretary of State to certify whether Hong Kong is still autonomous or not. That's the first step in the process. So the president has a lot of options at his disposal, as do the Congress. You could look and see. You know, I think what's really interesting at this moment is there's really a bipartisan consensus around this issue.
美国常驻联合国代表团要求联合国安全理事会召开视讯会议，讨论中国推动港版国安法所带来的威胁，包括对香港民主体制和公民自由的威胁。美国表示，中国的行动证实了中国完全蔑视其国际义务。
美国常驻联合国代表团表示，这是一个紧迫的全球关注问题。以上是美国之音常驻国务院记者张荣香的采访报道。
中共全国人大会议表决通过香港版国安法。在此之前，美国国务卿蓬佩奥表示说，美国国务院认定香港不再拥有高度自治，而各界正在密切关注特朗普总统下一步将会采取什么样的反制措施。此前，特朗普总统也表示说，在本周末前他会有一个强力回应。我们来看美国之音白宫记者黄瑶毅的报道。
香港众志的秘书长黄之锋在香港行政大楼的前面召开记者会，回应美国国务院宣布香港不再享有自治地位，以及这个敦促特朗普政府实施部分的制裁。
If Beijing didn't decide to impose the national security law in Hong Kong to turn Hong Kong to be a nightmare, we don't believe Washington, who suddenly decided to announce the decision of imposing the evil law.To keep an eye on Hong Kong, to oppose the national security law.
宫发言人麦克纳尼5月28号星期四在白宫的简报会上表示，中国决定对香港施加新的国安法是直接违反了其对于中英联合声明的承诺。蓬佩奥国务卿确认香港不再享有足够的自治，代表香港在美国法律之下不再享有特别待遇。黄之锋说，根据他透过香港众志的一些工作人员向美国国会议员的办公室，包括众议院以及参议院的办公室询问之后，了解到了港人如果要申请到美国留学、旅游等签证，应该不会有什么影响。不过，如果美国进行部分的经济制裁，将会对红色资本还有假扮港资的中资公司带来压力。而他说呢，据他了解，除了动用香港政策法，华盛顿也在研拟是否动用1977年的国际紧急经济权利法，以类似对付朝鲜、伊朗的法律来处理被强加国安法的香港。而根据路透社报道，特朗普政府正在考虑暂停香港对美国出口的特惠关税。2019年美国从香港是进口了价值是47亿美元的商品，而目前美国对香港收取的关税较低，不受美中贸易战影响，而香港就进口美国商品则是零关税。目前有超过300家的美国公司将区域总部设在香港，包括 3M、 亚马逊、脸书、微软、美强生等美国大型的企业。美国之音询问美国商会关于中共人大通过了香港国安法，还有美国国务院不再将香港视为拥有自治地位的反应，美国商会则以该会26号的新闻稿回应美国之音。新闻稿当中说，美国商会敦促中国政府保持香港一国两制的架构，敦促中国政府寻法和平地为香港局势降温，并且保持对于香港、中国还有国际商业社会都运作良好的一国两制架构，并且敦促特朗普政府继续维持正面并且有建设性的美港关系。此外呢，根据香港政策法，将香港视为一个独立经济贸易地区进行影响深远的改变，对于香港以及美国企业都会有重大的意义，尤其对于在香港营运受益于香港核心价值而能享有正面影响的企业。而美国智库新美国安全中心的研究员艾旭立方之前告诉美国之音，取消香港的独立关税地位将是美国的核武选项。虽然蓬佩奥国务卿宣布香港已经失去自治，不过根据香港政策法，只有美国总统才有权利决定要保持或修改美国对香港的地位。特朗普总统之前曾经说过，在本周之内将针对港版的国安法公布强而有力的反应。而宏观经济预测公司英诺多顾问公司对财经网站 MarketWatch 表示，对中国共产党而言，对香港的控制更为重要，所以如果美国取消香港的优惠地位，中国政府将会持续推动上海成为国际金融中心，以及推动深圳成为国际贸易中心，而所有的国际企业最终只能够自己来面对缺乏法治的中国投资环境。以上是美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅的报道。
美国国务卿蓬佩奥宣布香港不再拥有高度自治之后，美国国会议员们纷纷在当天予以回应，他们说中共已经触碰了美国的底线。我们来看美国之音国会记者李一华的报道。
美国国务卿蓬佩奥在中国全国人大表决通过香港版国家安全法前夕宣布，香港不再享有高度自治。多位国会两党议员星期三立即对这项决定纷纷表示支持。
I think we're all monitoring the situation very carefully, day by day, and getting ready from a policy perspective to implement policy on our end to deal with it.
It's a sad situation in Hong Kong, and what it comes down to, for too long, the American establishment has not recognized how horrible communism is. It does not surprising he did it.But it's sad he did it.
众议院外交事务委员会主席恩格尔发表声明指出，美国对中国政府行为所做出的反应必须果断明确，并利于维护美国的国家利益，也支持国际法规定下的香港自治和民主自由。美国的这一举措伴随而来的是，香港将失去目前在贸易方面所享有的特殊优惠待遇。预计这项决定也将可能对香港的国际金融地位产生巨大冲击。
Well, we're going to have to work that out because obviously we've had a long relationship and trade relationship with Hong Kong, and the PRC is complicating that tremendously. And we don't want China to be an enemy, but they're acting like an enemy. They're not living up to the promises they made. They're not allowing the people to exercise really any freedoms. It's really a shame because the people of Hong Kong deserve so much better.
中国强推香港版国家安全法的举动也被视为是北京迄今为止在削弱香港自治权方面最大胆的政治举措。各界都在关注美国政府接下来将采取什么步骤，又将会如何影响美中关系。
The United States have to have a government capable of dealing in a world where not every other government is open, forthcoming, and democratic. And unfortunately, Beijing is really none of those things.
与此同时，作为对北京强行推动香港版国家安全法的回应，国会跨党派议员已经推出了制裁法案。目标锁定破坏香港自治状态的中共官员以及与其有业务往来的银行。美国之音电视报道。
五月中旬，在参议院获得无异议通过的维吾尔人权政策法案，星期三傍晚也以压倒性的结果在众议院获得通过。在美中外交关系聚焦新冠病毒和香港问题之际，维吾尔人权政策法案的通过可以被视为是美国国会针对中国人权问题的又一重大举措。来看美国之音国会记者李怡华的报道。
本月早些时候在参议院获得无异议通过的维吾尔人权政策法，星期三傍晚以413票支持一票反对获得众议院压倒性通过。这部涉及新疆维吾尔穆斯林及其他少数民族人权问题的法案，接下来将送交白宫，等待特朗普总统签字生效，正式成为立法。
Today in this House of Representatives, in a very strong bipartisan wayWe are sending a message to the persecuted that they are not forgotten. We're saying to the president of China, you may tell these people that they are forgotten, but they aren't. And on the floor of the House of Representatives, on a bipartisan, bicameral legislation, we are here. We are here in support of the Uyghur Human Rights Policy Act, strong bipartisan legislation to address and defend the rights and dignity of the Uyghur people from China's oppression.
美国国会汤姆·兰托斯人权委员会共同主席、共和党联邦众议员史密斯也在星期三全体院会发言时表示，在中国人权问题上，美国不会保持沉默。众议院外交委员会首席共和党议员麦考尔也说，中国共产党是这一代最大的经济和国家安全威胁，美国国会必须不分党派，而是共同以美国人来应对这个威胁。
Whether it be the Muslim population of the Uyghurs, whether it be the Tibetan population who have been persecuted, and the Dalai Lama who is in exile, to the Christians who are persecuted in China by the Communist Party, this bill will help holdThe Chinese Communist Party accountable for their atrocities and will show the world, including the Uyghur Muslim American community, that the United States Congress will not tolerate these appalling human rights violations. We will always stand for human rights across the globe.
受到美国新冠疫情影响，众议院只是处在形式上的议事期。维吾尔人权政策法也是众议院首次在全体院会表决中使用代理投票机制的法案。美国之音记者李怡华，华盛顿报道。
西洋组织保卫民主联盟近期发布的数据显示说，中国自四月份以来已经通过其200多个官媒和政府的推特账户发布了近9万条推特，宣传与散布与新冠病毒有关的虚假信息。美国前副总统钱尼办公室国安顾问、普林斯顿大学的教授范亚伦在接受我的采访时表示说，中共近期的关于新冠病毒的虚假宣传有一个新的趋势，那就是针对发展中国家的受众，以期在国际的机构中获得支持。我们来看采访。
I also want to talk about China's disinformation campaign because you mentioned that a little bit in one of your recent articles. And we noticed that since the outbreak, China has been conducting a large-scale disinformation campaign. So can you share with us some of your observations?
Yes, this is something that's rather new for China, at least as far as targeting other countries. They've used this kind of disinformation tactic against Taiwan, but not so much against countries in other parts of the world. So it's new. There appears to be some degree of cooperation, at least tacit cooperation, betweenChinese entities and Russian, potentially Iranian as well, that are sharing disinformation. And the themes of the disinformation include this allegation that the United States military was perhaps responsible for developing the virus that was then unleashed on the world. That's one. They've also conducted or spread disinformation about the way in which European governments and other governments have handled the outbreak. I think this is targeted primarily at both a domestic audience in China and also perhaps at audiences in the developing world. I don't think they believe they're going to convince the United States government or the American people that somehow the U.S. Army was responsible for COVID-19. I don't think by spreading disinformation about the way the European governments have handled it that they're going to produce outrage among the European populations. I think they're probably aiming a lot of this at countries in the developing world.
Why do you think they're targeting now, like mainly at people who are in developing countries or countries other than America?
I think that's a main focus of PRC strategy that perhaps people in the West have not paid enough attention to. And I think Chinese strategists see the developing world as important in the future for a variety of reasons, a source of resources, markets, and so on, but also a source of diplomatic support for China in international institutions. And this, what we're seeing now, is an example of that. China appears to have exerted a disproportionate influence in the World Health Organization. We don't know exactly how that happened, but probably by gaining support among other developing countries to appoint someone as the head of that organization who is quite friendly towards China. And now the WHO will probably not conduct a true, thorough, and independent investigation. So China has been working hard to gain influence, not only in the WHO, but other international institutions. And the main way in which they do that is by getting support from developing countries, which are numerous and have many votes and can influence the way these organizations run.
Do you think China's this disinformation campaign is actually working?
It's hard to judge. As I said earlier, I don't think it has any benefit for them in the United States. It's made people quite angry. Maybe that's what they intend, but it's probably not very helpful. I don't know what the impact has been in Europe, but generally, as the crisis has gone on, opinion in Europe seems to be turning more against China. It might have been more favorable at the beginning, so it doesn't seem to be working there. I think the key question is it working in the developing world? And there I don't know, but it's possible that it is, because the question would be, what are the alternative sources of information that people have? And they may be hearing a lot from Chinese outlets of various sorts and perhaps not what we might consider more objective information.
What are some of the strategies that the U.S. can adopt to counter China's disinformation campaign?
Transparency and insisting on transparency, calling to account Chinese spokesmen who engage in spreading falsehoods. So there have one of the things that's quite unusual about this episode is that fairly senior officials in the Chinese system have publicly repeated these false claims or done so on social media platforms and so on. So I think calling attention to that and applying pressure in response to those kinds of statements is one way of handling it. And of course, providing accurate information to the extent that it's available about what's actually happening in Europe or what's actually happening in the United States is another way of combating this. I don't think it's helpful for the United States or other democracies to try to engage in disinformation campaigns of their own or to spread unsubstantiated stories about the extent of Chinese culpability unless and until that can really be established.
美国总统特朗普近日提出，他要帮助调解中印之间激烈的边界争端。不过，专家们表示说，这一提议很可能会被北京或者是新德里忽略。来看报道，亚洲问题专家杰夫·史密斯解释说，据报道，北京已经将数千名士兵运送到喜马拉雅边境有争议的领土，之后中印边境的紧张局势升级。
Chinese forces appear to have crossed the line of actual control or are in a sort of disputed area between claims of both countries and set up tents, set up camp in an attempt to pressure India to stop construction of new infrastructure along the border.
特朗普总统在推特上提议调解他所谓的他们目前激烈的边境争端，但是包括史密斯在内的专家都推测北京或新德里不会接受他的提议。
You know, there were a few points in recent years where President Trump offered to play mediator with between India and Pakistan on the Kashmir question. I don't think there's anything wrong or offensive about the U.S. offering itself as a mediator in these situations, but, you know, past history and current proclivities suggest that neither side really has much of an interest in taking the U.S. up on that offer.
印度和中国的官员似乎都迫切希望降低局势的恶化。
Difference in perception of the line of actual control between the two countries, which has been there for a very long time, and Therefore, confrontations take place, especially during summers when there is more patrolling because routes open up. And I take it from that point of view.
下面的反应来自北京。目前，中印边境地区的局势总体是稳定的、可控的。中印之间有完善的涉边机制和沟通渠道。专家说，
新冠病毒的连锁效应正在浮现，美国的医院也掀起了裁员风。一位医生背井离乡，来到新冠病毒的中心工作，现在却失业了。我们来看报道。麦克威尔逊医生已回到德克萨斯州的家里，回到他的七个孩子身旁。这个情况跟上个月他担任纽约市一个临时医院的医疗主任的时候截然不同。
This is day 22, you know, 14-hour days with no day off yet.
当纽约的新冠病毒患者数目下降，威尔逊医生回到他在德克萨斯州家乡的医院集团，结果发现自己失业了。
There's a lack of patients to be seen, so they don't need the staff. So nurses and physicians across the country have been laid off, furloughed.
四月间，在大流行病的高峰期，美国的民间医疗保健行业解雇了大约140万名员工。事情是这样发生的：当大流行病来袭，医院取消了有利可图的选择性手术，好为新冠病毒患者腾出房间。
本来财务已经拮据的一些较小型的医院更是岌岌可危。此外，由于美国人害怕进入处理新冠病毒患者的设施，造访常规急诊室的人数急剧下降。卢奇塔·甘地医生为一名中风的妇女进行治疗，她推迟来急诊室，结果为时已晚。
We could see this clot, and it was massive, and just all of us just felt this terrible sense of this is one of the cases that we really could have made a huge impact on. This woman had, if she had come within 24 hours, we probably could have pulled that clot.
随着病患对急诊室退避三舍，医院的收入减少，开始裁员。一些乡下医院现在靠一两名在急诊室的医生维持营业。
That's not enough people.
克·凯·穆迪医生创办了急诊医学教育网站，这是个拥有23,000名急诊室医生的团体。他说，他的成员如果抱怨自己医院的人手不足，就有被解雇的风险。
If there is a multi-car pileup just outside the hospital, we need people there.We don't know when the surge is going to happen. We don't know when the emergencies will happen. So we have to be always ready.
穆迪医生说，美国的医院一直面临财务风暴，而他们现在是在飓风中挣扎。
This is not just an industry. This has become an industry, and it should not be. It should be about one human taking care of another human.
三月份通过的$20,000,000,000新冠病毒纾困法案，提供了$10,000,000,000给医院，以弥补他们的损失。但这并没有帮到威尔逊医生，他正在润饰自己的履历表，这是他多年来第一次这么做。美国之音记者普雷苏蒂的报道。
在新冠病毒大流行期间，人与人之间的接触被认为可能增加感染的风险，在这个时候，机器人的作用就更加的突出了。来看报道。
星际飞船科技的送货机器人所到之处，吸引狗仔队的跟踪。这些当地明星正在为华盛顿特区的 BBM 市场提供送货服务。特兰西·斯坦纳德拥有这些机器人。
This is what they do. They just send me this. Like I don't have enough video of the robots, but everybody loves them. Look how cute they are.
市场通常没有外送服务，但是在三月份，特区发布了命令。让保持社交距离以减少新冠病毒的传播。
It was getting a little too risky to have so many people in the market because we would get super busy. We wanted to keep people outside, and then the bots seemed like a great option.
这些机器人可以携带约9公斤的重量，送到约5公里的半径范围。客户罗伯·欧肯说，这对那些来市场买了就走的顾客最有利。
I love the fact that it'll come right to my house and that I don't even have to go into the store. It was actually super easy. And it makes it a lot safer to keep social distancing.
其他公司包括猕猴桃机器人 KiwiBot, 邮件伴侣 Postmates, 当然还有亚马逊等也用机器人送货。但是这个行业一直在收益上挣扎。根据安德拉·凯伊的说法，机器人技术公司通常都很艰难。
I'm seeing robotics companies shut down.Even in the last month, but particularly in the last year, because they were too early for the market.
根据一个行业组织高级自动化协会的说法，机器人真正加速成长的市场是肮脏而危险的工作环境。
Disinfectant robots, for instance, if you right now are in a hospital or an office or a warehouse, you probably would like to have a robot do the disinfecting, so that people don't have to go in there and do that.Makes it safe before the people come into work.
机器人正在比利时一家医院中杀菌，在香港地铁中撒消毒剂。他们正在印度和泰国的医院里传送食品和药物，减少了卫生工作者与传染源的接触。也许这些是目前机器人最佳去处。在现实世界，送交货物非常困难，并且充满陷阱。人行道有麻烦，但是人的麻烦更大。
It says right on it, open here. Okay, now how to do that?
对于下一代人来说，将会变得比较容易。美国之音记者巴拉戈纳，华盛顿报道。
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容。感谢您的收看，我们下次节目再见。